In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Arguments about what is right are as old as the church, as old as history. The most difficult of the early churches was in Corinth, and Corinth took up an enormous amount of Paul's energy. I suppose we should be grateful because we're left with two wonderful epistles to the Christians in Corinth. Part of the problem in Corinth was that they chose the easy answer to hard questions, which, however tempting, is never a good thing to do. Some of them thought, I can do what I want. I can follow my desires. This is an idea that's had a massive renaissance in our own society recently. You often hear today that there's a very simple ethical code. If you want to know what is right, follow your heart, follow your desires. And today, we're told that desire is the place where you go if you want to find out what is most true. Deeply inside you is truth. And society then tries to couple desire with the will. And the supremacy of the individual will is a remarkable feature in our culture now. At the moment, there is a huge and complex debate about gender. You'll see it on the television, in the papers, you see it wherever you turn. But in this, it's notable that desire and the supremacy of the will have tremendous influence. St. Paul tries to address this sort of thinking when he writes to the Christians in Corinth. They have a famous saying in Corinth, all things are lawful for me. And Paul agrees. He says, yes, in Christ you have been set free from the law, and therefore, in a sense, it's true. Whatever you do is okay. But, he says, not everything within that freedom is helpful. He quotes another Corinthian saying, the stomach is for food, and by implication, whatever the organs of the body wish, that desire must be right. What Paul does then is not to say simply, you're wrong, and to start moralising in a simplistic way. He looks deeper, and he asks the Christians what it means to follow Christ. And so here, St. Paul takes ethics and he joins them up with doctrine. And he says, we are Christ's body, and our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And therefore the Corinthians are indeed free to make choices, but the consequences of their choices matter. And what we do with our own bodies matters. Paul goes on to say that if you follow Christ, you are joined to him, and that changes everything. But the desires we have and the choices we make can pull at this. They can even start to tear apart the bond we have with Christ. That can deform and damage our human nature as found in Christ. And so here, ethics meets doctrine, and together ethics and doctrine meet anthropology, which is simply, what do we think we are really about as human beings? What does it mean to say God has created us in his image and likeness? These three things come together and they matter. Ethics, doctrine, anthropology. All these things are on the table as Paul works with his Christians in Corinth. In that letter, Paul goes on to address with the Corinthians the question of religious prostitution, which is a big business in Corinth in those days. And he says, yes, you've got freedom, but if anyone engages in that practice in the temples, there's another thing that happens that matters. More consequences follow. And he says it's a further tearing apart of the communion that Christians have with Christ. Something damaging happens to something very precious. Many centuries earlier, the prophet Micah was wrestling with similar questions. How do we know what it is to follow God? How do we know what is the right thing to do? And in Micah chapter 6, we get the simplest ethic in the whole of the Old Testament. And it's this: do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. And that walking humbly with God is a communion with God. It's a communion with two dimensions: the individual person relating to God, and the individuals together walking in communion with God. And the implication of this is that our ethics and how we choose things affects how we live together in communion. For good or for ill, communion matters, and it's bound up with our faith and with our ethics. And so all these come to a head in what does it mean to be the church? Ecclesiology. He writes to the Christians in Corinth, a young church, and tries to help them think through and to become the community Christ calls them to be. And those questions are live and they're real in our own day, in our own diocese and in our communion. Last week, the Dean preached at Matins about the recent primates gathering in Canterbury that I'm sure you have seen on the news or read about. The primates came together and they talked about and thought about and prayed about ethics, doctrine, and many other things to do with the mission of the church. But the conclusion they came to was that we do not want to damage or to tear further the precious nature of the communion we have together in Christ, because our ecclesiology fundamentally matters who we are in Christ. If we want to walk humbly with God, that demands that we take great care of each other and of the faith we share in common, in communion with Christ. Wonderfully, and against all the odds, the primates in Canterbury voted unanimously to keep communion and to walk together, even though with disagreements. And as a sign of this, the primates walked across into the ancient crypt of Canterbury Cathedral. And I had the privilege of being among them as one of their chaplains, and I saw what they did. Led by a Roman Catholic layman, all the primates then washed each other's feet, humbly and quietly, and everything was silent apart from the sound of pouring water. The feet, which are a sign of the pilgrimage that we make, humbly walking with our God. The feet washed by our Lord on the night on which he was betrayed. This is what the primates did to show each other and to show us, but especially each other, that our ethics, our choices, our faith, our self-knowledge and our communion form a single whole, and they must be treated and lived together. And in that they also showed us something of great price. They showed us how precious is this body in which Christ chooses to dwell. Amen.